And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to somehow, Luke, as we record this, it's almost 2 weeks until the Ohio State University comes into Huntington Bank Stadium to take on your Golden Gophers. But where the heck did the time? I just like look at the calendar now, and it's August the 17th as we're recording this, and it's just like, how are we even here?
I think when we get to like, oh, how are we even here? We have to acknowledge that the fact that Nebraska still hates Kevin Warren, and a good part of the Big Ten already still hates Kevin Warren, and Nebraska is taking credit for the fact that there was even a season last year, and the fact that we haven't had the season canceled has to be a surprise to those people down in the greater Nebraska area.
I've thrown enough shade at Nebraska over the years. I don't need to throw more at them. They haven't done anything for me to throw shade at here in recent times. I've even been on a couple of Husker podcasts in the last month. So I don't know. It's an interesting time. I mean, I'm incredibly excited, especially after seeing three fall practices. We'll be getting into a ton of that tonight. Mm-hmm. But I think the first thing we need to do is set the record straight here, Luke.
Do we have some housekeeping items to take care of, Ryan?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Before we get to the housekeeping items, I do want to, you know, give the folks, I know the listeners care a little bit about what's going on in our lives. And well, how is the second young one doing?
We don't play favorites in our house, but he's the favorite right now. He sleeps significantly better than child number one did.
Okay.
We're not sure if it's him or the sleeping device thing that we bought him. But he sleeps like 4 hour stretches right now. No one's complaining about that. So we're very elated. We continually tell him to change his best, and so far he has.
So how does child number one, AKA Mr. Puke in the eyelashes?
Oh gosh.
I'll get you to tell that story one day. That was a good one. But how is Mr. Puke in the eyelashes doing, knowing that he's big brother now?
He loves being a big brother. He basically is a little frustrated about his playing time with mom, and rightfully so. I am definitely the JV, and she is definitely the varsity when it comes to play time. there's some jealousy issues, but he's working through it. He's doing pretty well. Ryan, I have to be honest. We've been getting over to the park, which is near my house, and there are those tennis courts. I don't know if you know, but people play pickleball all day, every day.
Rampant.
It's wild.
The moment I moved into my neighborhood here, and we like to call it South Roseville compared to Luke, where he's in West Roseville. I mean, it's only, what is it, like a 4 minute drive between us, but even still.
Yeah.
Like one of my neighbors I've talked to the guy probably 20 times, like real nice guy. And it's just like every time he comes up, he's trying to get me to join his pickleball team. He is up at those courts every day, four times a week from 7 to 10.
Yeah.
And he's sick of his wife pulling him down in the doubles tournaments. And I'm like, buddy, first of all, you can't say that to her because what in the world? She's just out here trying to have a good time with you.
Right.
Trying to spend time. He's like, well, she needs to get better. She's not getting better. And I'm like, buddy, I understand you're probably, late 50s, early 60s. Y'all been together a long time. But it's like, come on, man. Maybe you'll see me up there if I can, find some spare time here. Maybe I'll be out here on the pickleball courts. But the other thing I wanted to ask you is, so now that I just turned 29 and I feel ancient, considering I can't remember now if this is my 10th or 11th season covering Gopher football, but you know what I did is I joined a bowling league. How old does that make me? Like scale of, Gen Z to boomer. And for all you boomers out there, I mean, I don't mean any shade, but I mean, let's be honest. What do you think the median age is of a bowling league at this stage?
I don't know the median age, but all I can think of is you dressed up wearing a khaki-ish vest and yelling, Market 8, dude!
I don't even know what Market 8 means.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to be honest.
This is showing your age. Have you never watched The Big Lebowski?
How many people are going to hate me when I say I don't think I've ever seen The Big Lebowski?
Oh, no. Okay.
The Big Lebowski, I don't think I've ever seen it.
This might be one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm going to get some angry people here. So I ended up joining a bowling league with a couple of our friends. And that's where it's just like, we all are going to shoot, I think around probably 100 to start, but from what I've been told from my friends that are already in the league.
Yeah.
I didn't know that this is a bowling handicap and that I'm actually going to have a shot at this thing. I don't know. So we're going to see how that goes here. It's like twice a month on Sundays. And it's like, it gets me out of the house in between GIF rewinds and talking to you and Derek, of which, by the way, that leads me into my next thing. I finally got a carrier pigeon and a smoke signal and whatever else you want to find where in the world my second cousin Derek Burns is. But a few weeks later, after I sent the initial text, he got back to us. Derek Burns is in for another season where he will be coming on the breakdown edition of the podcast.
Let's go. Breaking news on the podcast. Wow.
I know. It's been, we were hoping so. And so Derek confirmed that there are going to be some games that he's going to miss because of work. But he is, for the majority of this season, you're hopefully going to hear double digit Derek Burns breakdowns with us. And I'm excited.
I do like that. I should mention, many people are wondering, you're becoming an audio aficionado right now. Like you do the podcast with me that parlayed into, I think, a gig with Paul Allen, which parlayed into, maybe these were kind of tangential or in parallel, but your Sunday thing with Justin Gard. And now very excited to hear you have another podcast more focused on national college football. You'll talk Gopher stuff, obviously, because there's a local angle. Sure. But I have to be honest. I thought that we were going to call the breakdown episodes a pair and a spare, and I was going to be the spare, and you and the two Burns were going to be the pair. So I'm a little disappointed you stole that name from the breakdown episodes, but I don't know.
Yeah. So the first thing I think I need to clear up is, number one, I talked about this with Luke, and
you've talked about this for a long time. This is probably like a year or two in the making.
It is. And the first thing I want to say is this podcast is not going anywhere.
Right.
I am just going to branch out to a different podcast with Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune, Justin Gard of KFAN, a.k.a. the Mr. Radio guy. And we're going to do a podcast, something we've talked about, the three of us here, for quite a bit of time. Makes a lot of sense because, Chip really wants to get on board of the podcast game. And he wants to have Guardsy and I on. And
that's awesome.
That's where Ryan James is going to kill me if I continue to call Guardsy, so I'm just going to have to call him Mr. Guard or Justin. But this podcast isn't going anywhere. So, yeah, it's going to be called A Pair and a Spare. We're going to record on Tuesdays. It'll be out weekly there. You can find it next week on whatever podcasting platform you want to find it on, whatever is easiest for you. And like Chip kind of put out today on the Twitter machine, we are going to be talking, I think, probably – 50-60% Gophers, and then Big Ten football, and just kind of college football in general, because I think the three of us are pretty educated in terms of the college football scene, specifically in the Big Ten. So if you can't get enough of my voice made, I mean, again, how many times has someone, you've been with me, and when this happens, where somebody looks at me and was like, boy, you know what? Now that I see what you look like and I listen to the podcast, you really do have a face for radio. Yeah. Well, if you can't get enough of this voice for radio, it is going to be it's going to be on another podcast. So this one's not going anywhere. I'm just joining one with a couple of very good friends of mine, and it's going to be fun. So yeah, it's going to be called A Pair and a Spare.
All right.
As someone who's going to be on the podcast, Luke, if you want to call our Sunday breakdown editions The Pair and the Spare, I think as a co-founding member, I think I give you the rights to do so.
I'm just kidding. I should mention, though, I've got a number of messages from people being like, are you upset about about this? And like, no, I'm not upset. I think this is wonderful. Back in like 2011, Ryan James and I started a podcast about Gopher basketball. And I literally told him on the phone, I said, dude, if this thing fizzles out, but you somehow end up on KFAN or one of these places and you are regularly on there, this has been a success because I wanted more Gopher basketball coverage. And then, you know, talking to you, Ryan, again, the goal was, hey, let's just get more Gopher coverage out there because we felt like in the audio space it was lacking. And we've been able to prove, like, one, there's a demand for it and we appreciate everybody that listens. But to me, I think this is awesome. The more there's out there, the better, you know, obviously we've gotten to meet some cool people and talk Gopher sports, and that's been super fun. And it's fun, the little community we've built around Gopher Gridiron Radio, and we're not going anywhere. There's going to be so much content, and there's lots of good podcasts out there. Don't just listen to ours, listen to the other ones too. There's a lot of local stuff, and make sure you check it out, especially A Pair in the Spare.
Yeah, and that's where I'm trying to, now you made me think, like, what does my fall audio schedule look like? Because as far as I know, let me run through this in my head. I'll be on Sunday mornings with Guardsy if he'll have me back. Hey, Guardsy, I know you're listening to this. I'm guessing we're still doing that, 8 a.m. Sunday mornings. And then we'll do the podcast here with Derek Burns on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evenings, breaking down Saturday's game. We'll do I'm assuming I'll be back with PA on Tuesdays. And then I'll also be doing the Pair in the Spare podcast. And then we'll have this one on Wednesday or Thursdays to preview the upcoming game. So
at this point, Burns, I think you need a daily. Like, I think you need a 247 daily. And then that way you just,
I need,
like,
to figure something out for Mondays and Fridays or something.
Just
like
the filler.
That. But as you said, like, you know, when we first started this, I just feel like there wasn't a ton of Gopher football talk in the audio space. And, you know, I think this podcast certainly helped, branch that out. I mean, personally, it's obviously helped me with, you know, getting onto KFAN with guys like Guard and guys like PA. You know, it's something I'm very grateful for. So it's growing. I mean, this podcast is, I don't even remember what year we are now.
I don't either.
Six?
I don't
seven?
Know. It's a lot of episodes. It's a lot of downloads. And it's been a lot of fun. But we should mention, we do have a sponsor for the 2021 season. It is the Goal Line Club again. We are excited to partner with them. This is just a quick reminder for all of you that are Goal Line Club members. Make sure to renew your membership. They are going to have tailgate information, and space is always limited. Those are a great opportunity if you don't have a tailgate lot spot. Join the Goal Line Club and be a part of that. Ryan and I will frequently be at those. I will probably be the person holding a two-year-old who is begging for more cookies. And then Ryan will be the guy with a face for radio. So,
and I will be double-fisting what I would imagine is going to be, rum and diets.
Yeah, probably.
So, yes, if you want to meet us, because you listen to the podcast for so long and you want to come talk to us, whether that's about the Gophers or just about life, we will be at these tailgates. They will be up on goalineclub.org soon. And for those of you who need a refresher course, because no fans were at the stands last year, at these Goal Line Club tailgates, it is unlimited food and it is unlimited adult beverages, normal beverages, kid beverages. Have a good time because it's a blast. I have a lot of fun there. Again, I've met a lot of people, a lot of listeners from this, and it's a lot of fun. So we'll be at those and, you know, we'll kind of get going from there. So like Luke said, from talking with the people over at the Goal Line Club, I think that people need to make sure that their memberships, because some of them have relapsed and people haven't renewed yet. Because again, first game of the season, just 16 days away. And all the money to the Goal Line Club goes directly to support the Gopher football program specifically. So if you want to join the Goal Line Club, they're a fantastic sponsor of ours. We cannot say enough good things about them. So if you want to make sure that you've got your membership renewed for this upcoming 2021 season, go to goalineclub, all one word, .org/memberships to make sure that you join them today. And the other ad that we have to get through that I'm going to say twice tonight.
Twice? Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's 75% off a Gopher Illustrated membership right now through, I think, 11 p.m. on, what is today, Tuesday? So if you're listening to this on Wednesday and you are not a Gopher Illustrated member, this is going to be the best deal all year. It's 75% off an annual. That's like $25 for the entire year. It's a $90 savings over what people are paying annually. Like, it's an incredible deal. This is going to be a good football team. There's a lot of basketball recruiting news going on right now that Ryan James has been on top of. There's going to be a lot of basketball official visits here for Ben Johnson and company in the next couple weeks here. I've got all my fall practice reports on there, all the quotes and the notes from the coaches and the players, and a message board that is hopping right now. Mm-hmm. So if you've been waiting for a great deal, this is the time. Like I said, 75% off an annual membership for new members. Again, I think it comes out to like $22 for the entire year. So if you want to join that, I've got plenty of links on the Twitter machine, or you can just go to Gopher Illustrated and click join now. So I think that's it. Should we just end the podcast now, not talk about Chris Ottman Bell, not about what I've seen the last 2 weeks?
I mean,
is that a good place?
The housekeeping literally took 15 minutes, but I feel like now we don't have to do housekeeping for a long time. You really threw a wrench into people's ideas with this new podcast. And frankly, they're creating controversy out of nothing. Let's talk a little bit about probably the A topic is Chris Ottman Bell injured. As you alluded to and has been alluded to, he was number one in a tackling drill, which is a little peculiar given his...
I'll give the context, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's peculiar.
I mean, especially because Mo Ibrahim was not participating in it. So the backstory is, I think it's last Thursday, we're at Huntington Bank Stadium. It's the one open to the public. And they're doing like a short space tackling drill. So you have a defender like 5 yards away, 3 yards away from the guy with the ball, essentially just try to get him down to the ground. Now, Mo Ibrahim is not participating in that, yet Chris Ottman Bell was. I mean, obviously hindsight's 20/20. Should Ottman Bell have been in that? I mean, you can make an argument either way, and I'm not going to be mad about it either way. But James Gordon gets beat by Ottman Bell, ends up having his hand slipped to a horse collar, and it looked like it was the ankle that was the one that got crushed underneath on the horse collar tackle. You know, he gets walked off the field, doesn't look really good. I know a lot of people are speculating, and that's where, again, another perk of a GI membership over the weekend, I broke that on the board that it was just an ankle injury. And so that's what came out when Fleck did media with Guard on Monday, was that it's a week-to-week injury. Again, Fleck won't say what it is, but I'll tell you it's an ankle. And that Fleck says there's a legitimate chance he could play against Ohio State in 16 days. Now, I don't know. Like, it's a difficult injury to say if he will or he won't.
So I think when we talk about ankles, like I'm not a medical professional, but usually. Right. Usually ankles kind of come in different severities. Obviously we don't know the severity. The thing that we probably got to pay attention to is if it's a high ankle sprain, right? Those tend to be longer. If it's not, and it's a lower ankle sprain, then you're talking more that severity range. And it's just a little bit more, you know, it just depends on how severe it is. So I guess that would be the piece of information to glean. Not that we know, but it wouldn't be surprising if it takes a while too, right? And it could be quick. I mean, it could be either of those situations.
And right, and that's where the media after Monday, which was yesterday, I mean, the media isn't around the program anymore.
Yeah, right.
They're shutting it down. We don't even get to see Fleck until after Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So Ottman Bell's got 2.5 weeks to get ready. Is he going to be ready? I don't know. I mean, that's something where he wasn't at practice on Monday. Asking PJ Fleck injury questions is like pulling teeth. And also, why would Fleck tell us? I mean, sort of try and give Ohio State an advantage. Again, I think you can think whatever you want about it, but I get why he said what he said. So again, Fleck said he's week to week with an unspecified injury. I'm going to say it's an ankle. And, you know, he thinks he has a legitimate chance to play. So again, we'll see how the stim goes. We'll see how all the recovery goes, but it's not the worst, because I know there were a lot of people trying to play internet and Twitter doctor on that. And it's just like, or I even saw like some of my colleagues just always got a leg injury. No, he doesn't. I mean, did you watch that? Like, let's just wait and see what you hear from your sources. I know what I heard from mine, mm-hmm. and I trust mine. So we'll see if Chris Ottman Bell is out there. And as far as other injury news, I think Minnesota's pretty relatively healthy outside of that.
Knock on wood somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks are healthy. It sounds like Preston Jelen, the special teams extraordinaire, the local kid here, Had a knee injury, and it doesn't sound like he'll be back anytime soon, which is too bad. You had Bryce Witham. The news come out that he medically retired, a.k.a. the doctors wouldn't clear him to play another year of football. The kid wanted to, but doctors wouldn't clear him, so that clears the way for even more Brevin Spanford hype trains. And then on the offensive line, Ariante Ursary would be, I guess, the biggest thing to note is I don't think I've seen him practice yet. Now he's like the seventh or eighth or ninth offensive lineman. And we'll kind of get into the weird old line rotation thing that they're doing, but that would be it for the offense. And then defensively, injury-wise, I mean, Josh Ani, I guess, is the biggest name. And Michael Dixon. And again, those are guys weren't expected to be starters. So knock on wood, I mean, as far as I know, and there's going to be, again, 16, 17 practices before Ohio State, the media will not get to see. You know, they are a relatively healthy team heading into the season. So, as you know, last thing I just want to note with Ottman Bell here is, say he can't go for Ohio State. My opinion that Fleck will not take into consideration, nor will anybody on the Gophers training staff, would be put him on ice for another 16 days and have him ready for Colorado. If you get to game week in 2 weeks and you're like, you know, Chris isn't going to be able to go. Okay, well, let's make sure that he's ready to go for Colorado. Because, yes, Colorado, their quarterbacks were in a quarterback competition, and one of them went down with a knee injury. So Colorado may be without who they wanted to be their starter. It's unclear at this time. But, like, he needs to be ready to go for Colorado. Because if it is a low ankle versus a high ankle, again, we don't know that. But say it is a high ankle, I mean, by that time, it's been 5-6 weeks since the injury happened for that Colorado game. So I would love to make sure he's 100% for that. But if you can get something resembling Chris Ottman Bell out there in 16 days against Ohio State, that only can help this offense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That really is all that can help. The biggest question mark, and we've talked about this a lot, is that wide receiver. Like, the reality is you got to see this with your own eyes now. After Ottman Bell, it was just a bunch of question marks. I have high hopes for Daniel Jackson.
Sure.
I think a lot of people do too. And then from there, it's just a lot of unproven. And not that Daniel Jackson was like overly proven, right? I don't think either of us would say that. I think just we saw some positive things, and we're hoping that we'd see some growth following this. I guess the reality is we just don't know. So what are you seeing in practice, especially at wide receiver? I mean, I've read your your practice breakdown, so I don't want to divulge too much. I know that it's important to keep some of that behind the paywall, but what are you seeing basically at wide receiver, and where does that leave you kind of feeling going into the season?
Sure. I think it's what we thought when we previewed the offense about a month ago, is if you were going to put question marks into something on this offense, it was going to be a wide receiver. And that's where the practice I was at yesterday, no Ottman Bell, and Daniel Jackson didn't go through team drills, as he had his left hand kind of in a wrap, guessing that was from an injury that he suffered on Thursday. Again, I don't think it's very serious. He went through individuals. He was catching balls, but they just didn't want to have him go through team. And without your number one receiver and without your projected number two receiver and Daniel Jackson, it was a struggle. I mean, they were – how do I want to phrase this? I would love to be a fly on the wall in Matt Simon's room.
Yeah.
When you're throwing out there with like the first team, and I mean no disrespect, but like Brock Anikstead and Clay Geary and like Michael Brown Stevens. Like, what are we doing? I understand kids work hard, but like the separation out there, the only way I can think to describe it now. I'm going to bring this back to my new Mastiff that I have. Like, my Mastiff is attached at the hip with my significant other. He is clingy. He has separation anxiety from her. He will not get away from her. Well, you know what? The receivers couldn't create any damn separation. Yeah. And that's been the story, is we saw that last year at times. And that's where you look at the passing game without Jackson and without Ottman Bell. Again, I expect Jackson to be back, but I'm just saying from what I saw Monday, like, you need to give some different guys some reps. Because, I mean, to kind of transition this, I mean, Monday's practice was the most first-team reps I had seen Dalen Wright, the Texas A&M kid, get at the previous two practices combined. And the ceiling is immense for that kid. He is incredibly raw still. And as PJ Fleck would say, you know, he's still got to work on his air quotes details, where he made a couple of incredible catches on the sidelines, but he didn't know where he was in relative comparison to the sideline. So he was like 6 inches out and he didn't get his feet in. So but he has so much physical talent that he just needs to play. Like if there's a decision to be made, when you look at this, say Ottman Bell is healthy and Jackson's healthy, like who do you want to be your third receiver, Clay Geary or Dalen Wright? Like that shouldn't even be a discussion. Like Dalen Wright or Michael Brown Stevens. It should not even be a discussion. Dalen Wright needs to get snaps, and I think he will get snaps. But like, I think that you need to put away kind of the pride that, you know, yeah, some of these guys have worked hard and been in the program a long time, but Dalen Wright needs snaps. Like Brady Boyd, the true freshman from Texas there, has also had an outstanding fall camp. And if it was up to me, which it's not, and Matt Simon doesn't care what I think, and neither does PJ Fleck,
sure,
Brady Boyd needs to play.
Yeah.
Like
we saw that like in the spring game, right? Like the kid just seems to be a gamer.
The kid can play. Yeah. And he got as many meaningful reps that I've seen at Monday's practice at the previous two combined. So again, the coaches aren't naive. They see what needs to happen. And I think Boyd, yes, he's going to make his mistakes. He's a true freshman. But again, what do you want to tap into that maybe has a higher ceiling? A year one Brady Boyd or a year six Clay Geary?
Yeah.
I don't mean this to be the wreck Clay Geary show, but also what is the theoretical upside here if all things are equal? Now, Geary is a slot guy, but so has Brady Boyd. Like that's been the interesting thing to me is Clay Geary has been working in the slot as an individual exclusively, but so has Brady Boyd. So has Lameki Brockington, who I think also has proven that he is going to be a good player. I mean, they even called it. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many coaches and players were screaming on Monday, Mecki Mondays, because Lameki had himself a heck of a practice.
Sure.
And it was Mecki Monday. So, like, again, Michael Brown Stevens continues to get a lot of reps. And again, we saw what he could do in catching a touchdown against Wisconsin. But these guys need to create separation because the bottom line is, you know, I'm seeing some people that have been to practice and some other people in the media be like, you know, well, you know, Morgan's taking too many sacks again. You know, this offensive line isn't as good as we thought. Like, no, like Morgan is sitting in the pocket, and credit to Morgan because he's actually maneuvering in the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. He's not doing the scared tuck and run thing that we've seen previously. But like, if your quarterback in offensive line, like if your quarterback's in there for 5-6 seconds holding the ball and your offensive line has to block for 5-6 seconds instead of three, yeah, there's going to be more pressure. There's going to be more sacks. So that's going to be the question mark for me this year is, you know, I feel fine about Tanner and we'll get to him. But like this receiving core, until I think to kind of end it out here, Luke, is the question I've gotten is, well, how do we get here? How do you go from Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman to now, you know, these guys can't get separation. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, well, let's look at it. You know, Bateman, you know, he would be in year four here. You know, Jordell Manns and Eric Gibson were a couple of guys they also signed in 2018. Both of them, because of injuries, had to medically retire.
Yeah.
And the only people that are upperclassmen on this entire wide receiver roster are Chris Ottman Bell and Clay Geary. Yep. You have like 10 freshmen technically with Dalen Wright, Doug Emelin, and I could go down the list, but like it just kind of is what it is. And so I don't know what Matt Simon is going to do. I don't know what Mike Sanford and PJ Fleck are going to do. But the bottom line is for this offense to kind of really reach what they're capable of doing, I mean, this passing game is going to see a boatload. You know, look at that. I used a nautical reference in terms of row the boat. Didn't even think about that. Oh, my gosh.
Previously were really into, like, a rising tide lifts all boats, which I wanted to make a comment on in the last podcast, but didn't get to.
I am just on a nautical theme.
Yeah, you're on a nautical theme. It must be all that fishing you do.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I was out there. I always wish I was out there on Winnebagoshish or up on Lake of the Woods or here locally using some of Weedless John's. trying to get some bass or something. Weedlessjohn.com, by the way.
Let's let's say, okay, so I think wide receiver – is what we thought it was going to be, more or less.
This
so
question,
far.
I mean, if you're going to post, yes, thank you for getting me back on track. Yeah. You know how I get long winded. It's just like, if you're going to poke holes in something, it's going to be wide receiver, which kind of brings me into, they're also using the running backs and the tight ends more in the passing game, which
Hallelujah.
I think, I mean, yes, because that you have to. I mean, you have to use Trey Potts in the passing game. We've seen Mo Ibrahim being used in the passing game. I mean, we've seen two back looks at times with Trey Potts and Mo Ibrahim. We've seen Mo Ibrahim split all the way out wide at times. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't just fluff anymore. Because, again, how many times on this podcast have I said, I hear what you say, but I trust what you do?
Yeah, I hear
you. I hear Mike Sanford and PJ Fleck say, we're going to use the running backs and the tight ends more in the passing game. Well, at the practices I've attended, the three of them, again, very small sample size in relative comparison to a long fall camp, but they have backed up their word. We have seen all of those backs used in the passing game. We have seen Co-Keefe used in the passing game. We have seen Brevin Spanford get a very healthy amount of targets.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening. And I think it's, yes, it's because the coaches said they were going to, but it's also out of necessity, because if your receivers aren't getting open, you still have to manufacture first downs through the air somehow. Mm-hmm. So whether that's a wheel route out of the background, out of the backfield, excuse me, whether that's using your tight end across the middle, it's going to look a little bit different in this passing game from the previous seasons.
Okay, so that's a good segue. I like the idea that you're seeing this where they're you know, going to incorporate both running back and tight end more into the passing game. I do want to put a disclaimer on that for this staff. I do not put it past them to show a bunch of that in open practices. Just so that people like you talk about it to throw, you know, the Ohio States and the Colorados off their game. I'm just saying, like, that might be realistic. Maybe not, but I'm just going to say that. But transitioning to running back, you know, we know what we have in Mo Ibrahim, right? We expect big things from him. We expect him to be the bell cow, as we've talked about previously. We know you're really high on Trey Potts. My question is, beyond that, there are a lot of kind of unknowns, but there are some high ranked recruits here that people are very interested in. Obviously the Bucky Irvins, the Kai Thomases, Cam Wiley, you know, you can go down the list. What are you seeing from some of those guys? Are they getting run here in the open practices you've seen, and anybody kind of showing out a little bit?
I was talking with Daniel House. We just had him on the podcast about this, and I threw the opinion at him that there isn't a position on offense that I feel better about in the short term and the long term than running back.
Hmm.
Because I'll tell you this much: Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving have looked really good, and you still have Mo Ibrahim, who's going to get as many touches as he can possibly handle. You'll have Trey Potts in there. You'll have Cam Wiley in there. The coaches also continue to bring up Bryce Williams' name, even though I'll believe it when I see it that he's also working in on this running back rotation more than a few snaps a game. But I don't even think you're going to see Bucky Irving or Kai Thomas outside of maybe the special teams return game, which I am all for.
Right. I'm with you.
Let's throw out Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving out there instead of Cam Wiley. Holly freaking Luya, please and thank you. I don't know what I have to do to have that happen, but I mean, we've seen, I mean, that's what it seems to be is in the kick return game. Again, I'm getting off track. You know how I do this. That's where it seems to be only exclusively essentially using running backs.
Right.
So you've seen Kai and Trey and Cam Wiley and Bucky Irving and Bryce Williams back there at times. Like, yeah, makes sense to me. But again, I feel very good about running back. You know, Trey Potts has done everything that's been asked to him. I mean, you just know what you're going to get. Here's what I mean. Everybody knows how good Mo Ibrahim is. Everybody knows how good of a zone runner he is. Everybody knows that as the game gets going, Mo gets more and more difficult to tackle. When Trey Potts gets in the game, you're going to see him used in space. What does that mean? That means it could be inside or outside zone. That means it could be a wheel route. It means it could be something as a quick hitter in space in terms of with the passing game. And then if opposing defensive coordinators don't know this by now, if Cam Wiley's in the game, it's going to be outside zone. I'm just going to tell you.
Right.
It's get Cam Wiley to the corner And if he turns the corner, you ain't going to catch him.
They also, but the thing is, they also had him incorporate into the pass game a tiny bit last year, especially like on wheel routes, right? So, you know, they look at him as a plus. Yep. In the passing game, at least in my opinion. I haven't seen practice, but you know, at least based on the sample size from last year.
Right. And so that's where at running back, I feel as confident as I did going into this, that if something happens to Mo, heaven forbid, nobody wants that to happen. I'm knocking on wood there. I still think there's competent backups there that can assume, you know, it's obviously it'll be a tier down. I mean, because Mo is as good as they come. But I'm confident that Potts, Wiley, Kai Thomas, Bucky Irving, or Bryce Williams, between the five of them, they can figure it out at running back. I am not worried about running back, and I think they should be very good this year and in the years to come.
Okay. Obviously, we talked a little bit about tight end. Anything else you wanna touch on tight end before we probably move to offensive line, which reading your practice reports, this is kind of where I want to spend the bulk of our conversation because I'm very interested in what you're seeing.
Yeah, tight end with Bryce Witham gone. Like I said, it's going to be Co-Keefe gets every single snap he can handle. It's been that way for years now. The devastating, angry ginger that he is, and he's going to get everything. But it also means Brevin Spanford, who is, as I left practice on Monday, the man was still healthy, still breathing, not nicked up, not some nagging injury. And he was looking like the guy that a lot of us have expected to see over the last few seasons. And that is a playmaker at tight end. He is going to see a bump in snaps as well. He will get a healthy workload. And then the two guys that I think will see also bumps, I think you'll see Wyzetta's Nick Kallerup get quite a few snaps. He's going to get a lot on special teams. If Minnesota needs a devastating run blocker into the mix, I think Kallerup is going to be that guy. He's the guy I think fills in for Co-Keefe next year as that run blocking Y tight end. But the other guy that has surprised has been the true freshman, Jameson Gears. I mean, he got as much run, meaningful run, with the ones and twos at times and the seven on seven. I mean, he's a passing threat. I mean, he is 6'5", 250 pounds. He looks like a second or third year guy because you look at some of these guys that are freshmen in the program, you're like, yeah, they look like freshmen. They need to add weight. But Jameson Gears looks like he actually spent a lot of time in the weight room over COVID. And, you know, we'll see if he can work his way into the mix now.
He spent his time in the weight room during COVID.
You know, some of us didn't spend that time in the weight room. And maybe we've put on a couple of LBs. But that's where, again, I don't know that Jameson will play this fall. But you're going to see a lot of Co. You're going to see a lot of Brevin, a lot of Nick Kallerup, especially here in 2021.
Okay. Good stuff. So let's talk offensive line. As we've talked about, there's depth here, right? You basically bring back the entire offensive line. Everybody is a fifth and or sixth year or fourth year, right? Everybody's effectively a senior. Maybe is Dunlop maybe still a junior? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Regardless, you know, there is experience here. That's the most important thing. Now, it sounds like a lot of guys are getting run in the form of six, maybe even second O-line or seven O-linemen on the field at one time, a lot of rotations. Help me make sense of this idea of a rotating offensive line. This is just something that
I've never seen or heard of. I've never seen it at like this high of a level. Well, here's what I'll say. I've never seen it at a high level actually work well if you have a good offensive line. Like, if you don't have a good offensive line, I can see why you would rotate guys in at times. But, like, Blaze Andrews has been Mr. Move Around. He'll go from left tackle to left to a different, on the next drive, he'll be at left guard. On the next drive, he'll be at right guard. On the next drive, he'll be at right tackle. Like, he is playing everywhere. And I asked Fleck about that yesterday. I was like, what's the deal here? And he kind of pitched the idea of a rotating offensive line, which – I wish Derek was reachable because I'd love to get his thoughts on that. I just feel like, you know, you just build as an offensive line unit, you know what the guy next to you is doing. And you know from drive to drive, if he's doing well, if he's not doing well, what they're throwing at you in terms of the formations and the alignments in front of you, if they're twisting, if they're not. And if the guy next to you is continually rotating. So The example I would have is, say it's John Michael Schmitz at center. Well, if one drive he has Curtis Dunlap and Blaze Andrews next to him, and then on the next drive he's got Connor Olsen and Blaze Andrews, and then on the next drive he's got Connor Olsen and Curtis Dunlap, you know, it's like he may assume that he told one of them something about, you know, when they show this look, this is what they do. But in reality, maybe that guy wasn't next to him. Maybe I'm galaxy braining this and I'm way overthinking it, but it's just been odd to me because, yeah, they want to find reps for, it's essentially they want to find reps for Curtis Dunlap and Daniel Fault lately.
Yeah.
Well, like it is what it is. They're trying to make sure like everybody stays healthy here in mm-hmm. fall camp, that everybody gets enough reps, but they're able to stay fresh. I get that. But like when they go to their six offensive linemen package, I mean, you know, you'll have all six of those guys and Schluter, Olsen, John Michael, Blaze, Dunlap, and Falele out there. I mean, they may or may not be experimenting with a 7-0 line look, which is I don't know that I've ever seen that one before outside of like a special team situation.
Right.
Like the point I'm trying to make is I don't think I feel comfortable rotating an offensive lineman out and in like every series or something like that. I just feel like, especially on the lines, and then the offensive line specifically, continuity is so freaking important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if you have a good offensive line, which Minnesota on paper will,
mm-hmm.
like you are as experienced as they come, like just let the guys play. And if that means Curtis Dunlap, who would, in my opinion, would be the sixth offensive lineman this year, if he only plays, you know, if everybody's healthy, you know, 15 snaps a game, well, it is what it is, because I don't want to take out Connor Olsen, Blaze Andrews, Daniel Falele, or Sam Schluter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody gets hurt, yeah, well, the situation is alleviated. Blaze just kicks to wherever the injury was, and whoever the guy is can slide in. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, what do you think about potentially rotating in an offensive lineman from series to series?
I think it's odd. The only way that it's maybe not odd is how much some of these guys have played. I know that like Dunlap is coming off of an injury.
Yeah, he is like he's only a year removed from an Achilles injury, which right. is crazy to me that he even practiced in the spring and he's still getting all of his movement back. But like, I mean, what's the hurry to get like everybody involved? You know?
Yeah, I hear that too. And the other thing is like also. Also, Daniel Falele is coming off of a year removed from not playing as well because he opted out due to sure. COVID. Like, in the same point, like, yes, all these guys have, you know, a decent amount of experience. They've all played together. There's something there, right? But in the same respect, there is something to that continuity piece that I think obviously is important on the offensive line. It comes to say, too, though, it's important not just for the offensive line to have continuity, but for the quarterback and the offensive line to have continuity. I got to imagine sure. they're not going to rotate center, right? That would just make no sense at all.
It will be the John Michael show.
Right.
And if something happens to John Michael, you will see Connor Olsen slide to center, and
right.
Blaze Andrews slide to guard, Curtis Dunlap in, and everything is fine.
Yeah, I do think that would be a little ridiculous to change. But now, all that said, what is important is you have that depth, right? It is important to have that. I'm interested if they're just trying to manage egos. It doesn't seem like that would be the case given some of these guys. But
It's a weird spot. It's interesting. I think that's the way to put it. Just again, probably overanalyzing this, and maybe Minnesota doesn't do any rotating. Maybe they're just trying to make sure that if something happens and somebody has to miss time on the offensive line, that Blaze is comfortable at every position outside of center. And that, you know, if something happens to Connor Olsen, well, we already know that he slides there. Dunlap knows how to play next to JMS and Falele, and everything is fine. But it is interesting because it's literally that core six. And then you look at the second team offensive line, it's just like, I mean, there's certainly a separation, but it's just interesting. Again, I feel fine about the offensive line overall still. Again, I don't know. I've seen some people on the Twitter machine say, you know, this will be one of the best offensive lines in the country. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But this will be a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
And you got a really good running back with it, and you have a fourth year starter at quarterback. So I think this offense will be just fine.
Okay, so we do have to talk about quarterback. I think this will probably be a pretty quick conversation. It is the Tanner Morgan show. We expect it to be that. We expect Zach Anixa to back him up. I don't know what else there is to say other than what are you seeing out of the quarterbacks in practice. Here's the other thing I'll mention just about quarterbacks in practice and just offensive execution in practice. If you went to one of these spring or you went to one of these fall practices and you see like the offense really struggling, yes, there's an element of, you know, there's an element of execution that needs to happen, but also keep in mind that, man, it is frustrating as an offense because you know that a defense is just cheating like crazy because they know what's coming.
Defense has seen the offense for 3 weeks. They know what the offense wants to do. They're cheating on specific things. I mean, yeah, that's where.
Yes, don't get hell bent on the fact that like maybe Tanner struggled. Like don't read too much.
The open practice, a lot of you probably attended. I mean, the offense looked horrible. But you know, from texting with some of the staff members afterwards, they were like, "Yeah, I'm so glad that the public was here to watch the worst offensive performance of fall camp so far." They're like, above
right, exactly.
14, 15, 16 practices, we just show up and crap the bed when the public comes. Like, yeah, sweet.
There's a reason that NFL teams practice against other teams because those are very meaningful practices because everybody hates everybody, but you know, at a certain point, because everyone cheats, but that's beyond us. So,
yeah, so it's the Tanner show and then it's Zach Anixon. And that's all you need to know is like, there are some people who thought like, yeah, Ethan Kaliak-Manis is going to come in here and he's going to just set the world on. Ethan got a long way to go, folks. I mean, first of all, Ethan's got to put on 15 pounds to fill out that frame. You know, he's not getting any, he's not even getting like second and third team reps because those are going to Cole Kramer and then Jacob Clark. So,
yeah, I don't think people realize how unique like a Lawrence at Clemson is, right? Like that is so unique where a freshman can come in and start, especially at quarterback, you know, year one. That is pretty unique. And I know that there is unique circumstance where Anixted came in and started as a walk-on, but those were more dire situations where he didn't have anybody on roster. Right now, the Gophers have a pretty good stable of quarterbacks. I know that during the kill years, that wasn't always the case, and you were kind of hoping that a freshman savior could come in, but that is hard to do as a freshman to come in and start right away.
Right, and I think Tanner has looked improved. Now, again, it's tough to say until the bullets start flying again, but the things I've harped on for Tanner for some time now is, again, practice. I mean, Mitch Leidner was the prime example that not everything you saw in practice would translate to Saturdays when the bullets are flying and the lights are on. But I think the pocket movement has been improved for Danner. Did I just call him Danner?
Let's go with Tanner going forward.
Yes, Tanner Morgan. Yes, Tanner Morgan. And I think he's been threading the ball into tight windows. Now, has he made some mistakes? Certainly. But again, he's not getting a lot of help at all from this receiving core. So yes, in practice, he's been forcing some balls because he's tired of taking sacks. He's tired of running around trying to extend the play. He's tired of Mike Sanford saying, just get rid of the ball. So I'm not worried about Tanner. You know, and I think Zach Anixted's a quality backup. So that's what you're going to roll with into the year. And I think maybe the biggest thing, and it's funny now, because Tanner, when we had him here, I go, Tanner, I saw you kept the ball today. Are you feeling more comfortable? He goes, Ryan, the moment I took that, I thought to myself, Burns is going to ask me afterwards about this. And he started smiling. And I was just like, I want you to know, all of you have it now known that when the quarterback keeps, it's literally amongst certain staff members called the Burns. Is they actually keep it on an RPO. Heaven forbid that happens 2 to 3 times a game. You know, I'm happy it's named what it is amongst some certain staff members here, but it's about damn time, Luke.
I think that's funny that they named it after
I think it is. Like, it was just so funny because, like, he pulled one on Monday, and I had a couple of guys in the sidelines like, hey, it's the Burns. And they start looking at me.
That's hilarious. Like,
why is it? We're going to get off sidetrack.
Yeah. So, okay. So obviously offense, let's just kind of at a whole, I think we were optimistic. Obviously the news with Chris Ottman Bell, you know,
yes.
and the possibility of him being out puts a little bit of a damper, because you were going to be relying on him pretty heavily as being the feature target guy. It's an opportunity for people to step up. Obviously, that's the cliche.
There
right?
is a gigantic opportunity for Clay Geary, Dalen Wright, Michael Brown Stevens, Brady Boyd, Lameke Brockington, say Doug Emelin. And there's an enormous opportunity, because if you can create separation, you're going to get the football. Tanner does not care who he throws the football to. He just wants to throw it to somebody who's freaking open. So, and I also think it creates an opportunity for those running backs in the passing game, those tight ends and Co-Keefe and Brevin Spanford in the passing game. So overall, I still feel pretty good about this offense on paper. You know, now that I've seen it for myself, this is what it's supposed to look like on the offensive line. I mean, Daniel Faalele is as trim as a 370. I'm going to tweet out a picture tomorrow that Dan Owen took. And you look at him and you're like, holy hell, that guy's actually 370 pounds. He doesn't look like that. He looks slimmer than that. Like, this offensive line on paper, and again, we'll get into it with the defensive line because I think they're much improved, but I think the offense is what we thought, Luke. You know, the question marks continue to be question marks, and I don't know that we're going to know until Chris is actually back and say we're at the end of September. You know, what does this passing game look like then, and where does it need to be by the end of October if this team's going to take a serious run at the Big Ten West?
All right, so let's transition here to defense shortly. But before we do that, Ryan, if anybody wants to save 75% off on probably the best Gopher content there is on the internet, where sure. can they go, and how can they save that 75%?
Yeah, again, 75% off a new annual membership at Gopher Illustrated for everything recruiting, everything message board, everything. Ball practice reports, everything recruiting related. I just don't know what else to say at this point, because you get an entire year for like $2 a month. And if you can't find $2 a month, $3 a month in the year of our Christian Lord 2021, like, what are we doing at this point? If you want the best in my, I mean, I think between Ryan James and myself, it is the best Gopher coverage, not only on online, but in print. It's just for you, the hardcore Gopher fan, that actually want to know what's going on. You're not going to get it from the papers. And I love those guys. I love the beat guys. It's just, that's not their audience. You are my audience. I literally have a thread called Ask Ryan Burns Anything. You know how many, like, it has 600,000 views in 6,700 posts. You can literally ask me anything on top of your mind. Say you're chatting with your Gopher buddy. You're like, hey, I wonder if he's going to play. Well, just log on to GI, ask me the question. I'm on the board 24/7. I mean, and so is Ryan James. So if you have any questions about Gopher basketball, Gopher football, anything about Gopher recruiting, we're here for you, and it's the best deal you are going to get all year. We don't do another 75% off. So for those of you that want to become new members, click the annual 75% off. It'll cost you like 20-something bucks for the whole year. It's in Elite Opportunity, Luke.
Elite Opportunity. I love
and it ends tomorrow night. If you are listening to this on Wednesday, it ends at 11 p.m. So just head to put in your Google machine, Gopher Illustrated. I'm sure you'll see a join on the front page there, and we'd absolutely love to have you.
Excellent. All right, let's talk a little bit of defense. When we talk about defense, let's start with the defensive line. This is something we focused on quite a bit in having high hopes for this defensive line, some with the maturation of some of the younger guys, but also some of these guys that they've been able to bring in through the transfer portal, obviously like a Niles Pinckney comes to mind. So let's start at defensive line. I know you've been kind of giddy, might be the right word, about this defensive line. Tell me what you've been seeing.
I think this is the most improved unit on the team. Is D-line from last year to this year. I don't think it's even close. Like, I think this defensive line as an entire unit has a chance. I mean, I already said it on a podcast. So Mr. Eyes on Big Ten, if you're listening, I think Minnesota's defensive line will be better than Iowa's this year. I mean, I think it says a lot about where Iowa's defensive line is this year in terms of inexperience and young bodies. But I also think it says a lot about Minnesota's talented, experienced bodies. Because, I mean, you're looking at starters of Asezi Otemiwu, Boye Mafe, Niles Pinckney, and probably D'Angelo Carter. Those guys have been creating problems for this offensive line. And this is an offensive line that I think between probably the six of them, they've played, I don't know, 12,000, 14,000 collegiate snaps. I mean, they've seen everything. I mean, I mean Niles Pinckney, the Clemson transfer kid, I mean, he had himself a Monday. I mean, I love watching the O-line, D-line one-on-ones. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things to watch at these practices. I watched Niles Pinckney absolutely eviscerate Curtis Dunlap, put him on his back immediately. Now, Curtis Dunlap is a large gentleman. He's 350 pounds. And Niles Pinckney just presses him into the – I mean, he just pressed him onto the ground. I mean, that's where – you didn't see that last year because you were watching a freshman out there. You ain't going to be seeing freshmen out there. And if you are, season ain't going to be what we thought it was going to be. But, yeah, you have those four, but you also have Val Martin rotating in. You also have guys like MJ Anderson making plays. You have guys like Thomas Rush. You have guys like Micah Dutredway for his seventh year. You have a lot of old bodies, and it's about damn time in year five that Flex finally old on the offensive and defensive line, because I feel like we've heard for years, you know, youngest team in America, we've played a lot of young guys. Well, you're not young on the lines no more. You got a lot of old people, and I think they're going to be able to keep them fresh. And that's where I am bullish on this defensive line. Like I said, I came into fall camp thinking the defensive line was going to be the most improved unit on the team. And I leave, you know, media availability now thinking the same thing, is they have a lot of bodies they can go to, and they can keep them fresh, hopefully, and they can have them be impactful, because especially if Minnesota can get a pass rush from someone not named Boye Mafe, which they've been able to do here in fall camp because of different stunts and twists and just guys making plays. And, you know, it's going to benefit the entire defense overall, because as Luke's favorite saying goes, a rising tide lifts all ships. And if the defensive line can, number one, set the tone against the run, and then also get after the passer with only four or five instead of six or seven guys, that's going to help out the linebackers, and that's going to help out the secondary. So, again, I think this D-line is going to be pretty good. I mean, the only other storyline really to note here is there might be a true freshman getting in Austin Booker.
If you could see my face right now, my eyebrows are very high. A true freshman is going to maybe work their way into some playing time.
I kid you not. It is interesting. He was someone that I know Alan True and I kind of went to bat for, trying to get Austin Booker his four-star, and the 24/7 overlords that didn't approve that. And I think Austin Booker is going to make him look foolish here in a few years, and maybe even this fall. I mean, Austin Booker, yeah, I mean, you can check it out on the free photo galleries I got on GI, which, again, another perk of just frequenting GI. Between Dan Owen and myself, we have hundreds of photos of, you want to see what these guys look like instead of just hearing he's 6'6", 230 pounds. Like, you can go look what he looks like. Like, Austin Booker is a trim guy. I mean, he's going to look a lot different in 18, 24 months when he gets into a college strength and conditioning program. But he is incredibly twitchy. He is incredibly long, and he's 6'5" plus. I mean, they've been using him on the passing down unit, and they did extensively on Monday. Like, if it was a passing down situation, second and long, third and long, I mean, the true freshman's out there with Boye Mafe and Niles Pinckney. I mean, they really want to see what the kid can do. And I mean, I can see why. So, again, we'll see if they end up doing something with him, or maybe they just play him four games and then take the redshirt. I'm not sure what they'll do. But I can tell you, I mean, Austin Booker, he looks like the real deal. And he's going to be, when you look at whatever life is like after Boye Mafe here, after 2021, Austin Booker should be somebody you're penciling in that's going to be competing for that spot in the spring.
Okay, so defensive line, we think things are trending up, and as a result of that, that should really improve the play of the linebackers, which did struggle. Tell me what you're seeing out of the linebackers.
Again, I don't want to be Mr. Maroon and Gold. It's just like, I had such low expectations for this defense after 2020. I mean, they were bad. They were atrocious. I mean, they were pitiful. And so you're just like, you know, the bar is so low. And especially when you look at linebacker, they were so bad last year. I mean, Sorry Marin and James Gordon and Donald Willis and Josh Ani and, I mean, all those guys. I mean, they just didn't play well. And it's just like, I'll tell you what, the surprise of fall camp to me, just in general, is how good Jack Gibbons has looked. Because sometimes when you bring in a transfer, especially a grad transfer, now I know the Abilene Christian transfer and Jack Gibbons, played 4 years in the FCS, played a lot of football. But then, you know, from the FCS in Texas to the Big Ten is going to be a step up in terms of athleticism, physicality, and you just don't know how it always translates. I just feel like Jack Gibbons has thrived. I mean, you look at the open practice on Thursday that the public saw. I mean, he made plays everywhere. He was the best guy in coverage of the linebackers. He tipped one ball, and then in the next play, he tips another that is deflected in Tyler Newbin's arms for a pick six. He's making plays in the hole. I mean, there is not a guy that Joe Rossi is showing more love to after a play than Jack Gibbons, because he's like, here's how low the bar was. And you know this, Luke. I mean, how many times did we just hope the linebackers were in the right spot? Like, you didn't have to always make the play for you and I. Just be in the right spot.
Yeah.
I mean, Gibbons is always in the right spot, and he's also making the plays in terms of tackling and just did different things like that. So, you know, and that's where, you know, I think it's going to help Sorry Marin. Now, I still don't know what realistic expectations are for him. Because, I mean, there's not a more despised or just more there. I don't know if despised is the right term, but there may not be a Gopher player that the public is more down on than Sorry Marin. And trust me, I get it. He has certainly had his ups and downs and more downs than ups. But it's going to be a big September for him because there's competition out there. And Braylon Oliver's back. They're giving a long look to Cody Lindenberg, and James Gordon and Donald Willis are all working in. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, I could see a scenario, Luke, where they mix in five or six linebackers into a game depending on what the situation is. You know, say against the Iowas and the Wisconsins, they go with four linebackers out there. I wouldn't rule it past them. Now, on passing downs, I think you'll only see two, maybe three, quote-unquote, down linemen. And then I think you could see some of these double A gap looks that Mike Zimmer is synonymous for. Or, you know, you have four or five guys standing at the line and you don't know which one's coming. I mean, I've seen Joe Rossi kind of regain what we thought he was in 2019. Now, again, I say this and everybody thinks this defense is going to be the 85 Bears. No. Now, it's just last year, Luke, I mean, what would you call them? Below average, mediocre?
They were they were bottom third of the Big Ten, maybe so even bottom.
Sure.
Three.
So they were a mediocre defense. Well, now they look like an above average defense. And that would be a significant boost because if your offense is a good offense. Well, if your defense is above average, you're going to be in a lot of football games and have a very good chance to win a lot of Big Ten football games. So, again, at linebacker, I think you're going to see rotations. I mean, if I were a betting man, of which I certainly am, I would say Jack Gibbons is the one that leads the linebackers in snaps, followed by Mariano Sorry Marin and Braylon Oliver. But I also think you're going to see guys like James Gordon and Cody Lindenberg and Donald Willis also mix in there. You know, I don't include Josh Ani in that group, only because I haven't seen him practice and he hasn't been in pads yet. So I feel better about linebacker, but I also know that I need to see them do it when the lights come on here in September. Now, again, I'm not just saying, you know, they need to show it against Ohio State. Well, Ohio State makes everybody look silly at points. But if at the end of September, after you've played Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, and Colorado, especially those final three games there, if linebacker certainly looks improved, I'm going to feel better about them certainly going into Big Ten play.
Okay, so when we talk about rounding out the defense, we do have to talk about the secondary. I think, you know, there are some question marks kind of all over the secondary. In the spring, Terrell Smith had a good spring. Curious to see what you're hearing there, or not hearing there, but seeing there. And frankly, I'm really curious to hear what you're seeing out of safety. In the secondary, the only thing that was kind of certain, at least to me, was Coney Durr. And what are we seeing? And the other thing is, where are we seeing depth? Because depth is going to be very important, especially, you know, with groups that are going to go, you know, 4 and 5 wide, where we're going to need more defensive backs to play. So curious to get your thoughts on what you've seen in this short, in these short 3 practices.
Well, it's tough because if I've learned anything over my years, when you get to be my age, you'll understand, Luke, that you see a lot of things and you try to learn from your mistakes. And I'm trying to figure out with this defense, and specifically kind of with these, with the secondary here, is how much of this is kind of the Hank Epke situation of 2014, where...
Please tell me you're changing your best here. I keep going.
Here's what I'm trying to say is, I think corner is improved and safety looks better as well, but I don't know how improved they are, because I also don't know how good receiver is. Like, if the receivers in September are just going out there and getting open constantly, then it's like, well, in theory, I guess the corners are actually pretty good because they've been locking them down for a large majority of camp. Like, Paul Haynes has these corners just, I mean, Terrell Smith, I would be absolutely, and for those of you playing the Gopher Gridiron Radio drinking game, get ready for a bottoms up. I would be gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked, if Terrell Smith isn't starting against Ohio State. You know, from talking to Fleck, from talking with Rossi, from watching it with my own eyes, it seems like the light bulb continues to stay on for tea time. And that's fantastic because they needed it to. Now, in that same breath, I still think you're going to see, I'm going to come out with some articles here on Gopher Illustrated, maybe this week, if not this week, next week, about what true freshmen, you know, the top 10 true freshmen, I think could and will play. I would be surprised if I don't put Justin Wally as number one. I don't think there's a scenario where Justin Wally doesn't play this fall. He is Mr. You know, Fleck likes to call him Mr. Mississippi because he was Mr. Football in Mississippi. He's the corner that Minnesota got over Ole Miss and Mississippi State. His brother's a stud down at Mississippi State, yet he still wanted to come north and play for the Golden Gophers. And I just think Wally physically doesn't look like a freshman, but mentally the kid, he's Teflon. I mean, in terms of, like, if something bad happens to him, for a lot of freshmen, a lot of young players, head goes down, tail between the legs, you can just count him out for the rest of practice. I mean, the kid is incredibly physical in the run game. If something bad happens to him, it's next play. And, I think Justin Wall is going to be a pretty damn good football player. But I also think Miles Fleming has got a shot. Someone that he's playing through a little bit of a hand wrist injury right now. Maybe it's a thumb injury too. But he's out there. Same with Phil Howard. So the point I'm trying to make here, Luke, is the corners have been locking down these receivers. And I don't think it's been incredibly grabby. I don't think it's been egregious flags that are not being called. I just think, I mean, maybe because Minnesota finally got a corners coach to stay here for more than 1 year, that Paul Haynes has been able to kind of get these guys to develop. I just don't know how much they've developed because, again, we talked about receiver. It's going to be interesting. So I think they're improved. But I just don't know how much. So you're going to see a ton of Coney Durr. You're going to see a ton of tee time. I think you'll see Miles Fleming and Phil Howard and Justin Wally also in the mix. Mm-hmm. And then the slot, you're going to see Justice Harris and Bishop McDonald and Saul Brown. Again, I think it just depends on what's going on there. And then maybe the other big surprise to me is Tyler Newbin looks like the 4-star that Minnesota signed. Now, again, I don't know. It's tough for me to say anything about the safeties and coverage. That's going to be my big disclaimer here because they just don't show a lot of the safeties doing a whole lot in coverage. I mean, we see a lot of like inside run game, and we see different things like that. I mean, certainly you see 7-on-7 and stuff like that, but it's different when it's an 11-on-11 feel. But Newbin has been incredibly physical and actually a really good tackler at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he has filled out his body, and I would absolutely believe he's 6'2", 210 pounds. And I think how Nelson looks improved. But again, if you could just tell me, and I don't know how to answer this because I haven't seen enough, is if you just tell me how Newman just will take better routes to the ball, they trust what's in front of them. I mean, I tell you, Minnesota's going to have improved safeties as well. So, again, I feel like people are just going to listen to this and think, boy, 85 Bears, here we come. I'm going to start buying my tickets for Pasadena. I'm going to book the hotel room in Indianapolis. It's just, as we talked about, Luke, I mean, the bar for this defense for me was so low because they were so bad at times last year. Well, they got improved towards the end of the year. They brought in some transfers. Everybody got another year older, and they've been given the offense fits at times. And so the question kind of comes back down to here, big picture, Luke, you know, is the offense maybe not as good as we thought? Is the defense better than what we thought? Is it both? Is it neither? I think we're going to have to wait and see where the chips lie here in about 6 weeks.
All right. So it can't be an episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio without some talk about special teams. And I know this has been a thorn in your side, the bane of your existence, the frustration of your life, throw out all the cliches. But tell me what you're seeing, and please, if you can, please sell a little hope.
Well, I'll first note that, for the record, I want it stated, I did submit an interview request for Rob Wenger, and I got absolutely nothing back, which doesn't surprise me one bit. But again, I would have loved to interview him, and I would have been incredibly civil, unlike what some of you guys think out there. But I mean, it gives me no greater pleasure to tell you, because honestly, it's the truth, the kicking game looks a lot better. Now, again, we'll see what it looks like when the lights come on. But I mean, Matthew Trickett yesterday at practice, I think was, oh, Daniel House is going to kill me because he tracks all this, and I know I'm going to get this wrong. I think Trickett was 8 of 11 from 40 plus yards, which for those of you who have listened to this long enough, you know that it is now over 1,000 days since Minnesota last made a 41-yard field goal or longer. Well, if you got a kicker now and Matthew Trickett, the Kent State transfer, who's nailing them at an 80-85% clip, boy, do I feel better about this offense. Because if you can actually get points when you cross, say, the 30 to 35, instead of trying to go for it at times or just having a failed kick, I mean, that does wonders for you. Now, I think what's going to happen is Trickett will be your guy from 48, 49 yards and in. And then what they're going to do, because we've seen it in practice, is you bring in the Dragon. And for those of you who don't know who the Dragon is, that would be your kickoff specialist, Dragon Kesich, the walk-on from Wisconsin there, who was the kickoff guy last year and did a pretty good job. I mean, he's going to be the 50-plus yard guy. Now, the only time I can see that feasibly happening, Luke, I mean, say it's the end of the half, and, you know, you're on a two-minute trail and you get it, and it's like a 52-yard field goal with 6 seconds left. Well, instead of heaving it to the end zone, why not try to roll out Dragon to, say, go up 17-6 instead of 14-6 at halftime? Or if it's late in the fourth quarter and you need 3 points and it's 50-plus, well, I think it's going to be Dragon. So I feel better about kicking, and that includes Mark Crawford. I mean, it's weird for me. I don't know what to say, Luke, because, I mean, you're just so used to saying the same things because that's what your eyes tell you. And I think Crawford has looked improved. I mean, folks saw it at the open practice. You saw a 54-yard punt that pinned him between the numbers and the sideline inside the 10. I would love to see that at some point this season. I would absolutely love it. So if you can get more out of the kicking game, it doesn't even matter how atrocious the return game would be. Like, if you can just solve the kicking game issues and become an adequate, fine kicking team, again, the floor on the entire team is raised up, and that's where you can see maybe this team's got a shot.
All right, so any last...
I just don't have anything to add in the return game because honestly have not seen enough. I've never seen a kickoff.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you who's working a kick return like I did with the running backs. I have just completely given up on the punt return game because your punt returners are Brock Anikstead, Clay Geary, and I think it was Chris Ottman-Bell, but it was just like, let's be honest, Luke, you know?
Let's also be honest, Ryan. Like, they haven't returned a lot of kicks.
They are team punt safe.
Yeah, they're a team punt safe. That's one. Yep. And even kick, they're relatively safe, too, largely because
except
they didn't really
have a
threat.
Except when Cam Wiley's out there.
Well, you know, whatever.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, I think that'll do it. Obviously, we're excited to get football started. We're excited to do this more regularly again.
Because what are we talking about next week, Luke?
We are talking about the season preview.
So it's going to be time for me to get my on-the-record predictions, and I get to look back at last season to see how off we were. I don't know. We'll get into this next week, Luke, but I feel like Minnesota's gaining steam as like the dark horse of the West.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it, and I can explain the situation why, certainly. I mean, the Northwestern's injury news today doesn't help. Again, I spent a whole 90 minutes on Eyes on Big Ten podcast trying to explain why I'm poking holes in Iowa, which I still think I'm not an Iowa guy this year. And then,
I listened to that, by the way. You did an okay job. You both were.
Boy, thanks for the okay job, Luke.
I mean, I think that generally speaking, those guys have a really entertaining, rational podcast. I do think that the Greek was a little more emotional than he normally is.
He was riled up. He's an Iowa homer. He played with them. I get it.
Something irked him about that. And the thing is like he's usually really founded in like stats. And then he said, "Trust me, I've seen it." And it's like that's not a a stat to an extent.
Just because Iowa's offensive line has been good doesn't mean, especially by the way, did you see the report that Iowa's starting offensive lineman is going to miss time to start the season with a foot injury? Do you know how he did it?
I heard it was a
bailing. He was bailing hay. Iowa Hawkeye offensive line injury. Yeah, I was at the farm and I was bailing hay. Injured my foot. I'm out to start the season. Like,
yeah,
that's why I love college football, because I love when stereotypes actually become the meme. So
I think that you and the Greek really should preview the Minnesota Iowa game. Because it's kind of a bit at this point, like,
I mean, we certainly can. I mean, I'd love to go back on there and do that when the time comes. I just think, like, we'll know a lot more. You know, the holes that we poked in each other's teams, I guess, in that instance, we'll know if the holes are actually real or if they were make-believe.
Yeah. I mean, so he had some good points for Minnesota, and I thought they were good. It was not a lot that we already didn't know, but, you know, he reinforced some of them with more analytics, too.
We'll get into all 12 teams on the podcast next week that Minnesota's on the schedule for.
I will say this about that podcast. I had no idea, because I didn't follow either of them on Twitter until recently. They're both in Minnesota. Did you know that?
Well, yeah. Where do you think Iowa and, well, first of all, Iowa City graduates and Madison graduates, where do you think they come to get jobs?
Well, but Kurt is from
You and I both know
Kurt is from Illinois, so I'm not sure how he ended up in Minnesota. I do see the
welcome
stereotype.
To the Fortune 500 capital.
Yeah. Exactly. So, anyways, we'll have to get together with those guys sometime and talk.
Yeah, I think they're going to be at the Ohio State game, so we'll see if we can.
We should invite them to the tailgate. There we go.
Yeah, we definitely can.
So Lee Peterson, make it happen, man.
Season preview next week. We'll get our on the record predictions, and then it's going to be game week. It's going to be the official Ohio State preview podcast, and then we get off and rolling, and we see if this 2021 team can maybe surprise some people. Because remember, Luke, Vegas says this is a 7-win team. We will have to see what you and I put on the record next week.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. It is fun to talk Gopher football with Mr. Burns, and make sure that you check out his other podcast, A Pair and a Spare, that will be on any podcasting aggregator soon. Again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.